I'd like to begin by introducing myself. If you don't know me, my name is Pastor Luke Ulrich, and I'm here from Mount Olive Lutheran Church, just a few blocks down Marsh Street. And I'd like to encourage any of you college students, if you haven't visited us yet, please come down and join us. Many students throughout the years have considered Mount Olive their home church away from home, and we would welcome you to do the same. And I know Pastor Hartwig in North Mankato would say the same. Please come and share the means of grace with us on Sunday mornings at our local ELS congregations. I'd like you to turn to page 174 in the front part of your hymnals. We will responsively read Psalm 1. I will read the odd number verses and ask the congregation to read the even numbered verses, and we'll join in the glory, the Gloria. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. This psalm that we just considered, Psalm 1, don't you think this is a wonderfully accurate description of you college students? I think so. Let's take a look at it again. The first verse, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is he whose delight is in the law of the Lord and meditates on God's law day and night." You know, I apologize. I must have made a mistake, because this doesn't sound anything like you college students. And I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not trying to be mean at all. I'm just being realistic here. Even from my own personal experience here at Bethany Lutheran College, which doesn't feel like it was that long ago, I can tell you, and I'd be happy to admit to you, that this righteous man that we hear about in Psalm 1 didn't fit anyone that I ever saw on campus. Certainly didn't fit me when I was a student. Didn't fit anyone else, not even the seminary guys sitting in the front pew. It didn't fit any of the faculty, any of the staff. No, I never saw this righteous, blessed man physically walking around Bethany Lutheran College, or any other college campus for that matter. I think we have to face it. We have to simply face it. There's no way around it. There is no one here who qualifies, no one here who really fits this description that we hear in Psalm 1. And I hate to burst your bubble, but college students, you actually, generally speaking, come nowhere near fitting this description. It sounds like everything we shouldn't be is actually everything that we are. Walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here at Bethany College, excellent counsel is offered to you from God's Word in your classes and here at chapel, from your professors and advisors. And yet, how easily are we tempted to follow after trends that are set by pagan unbelievers? We invite the influence of whatever is popular here in this sinful, fallen world. Instead of listening to godly advice and counsel, how often is it that we form our opinions based on BuzzFeed videos or Reddit threads or dirty pictures from the Chive? Or what about standing in the path of sinners? From my experience, not only do college students sometimes walk along and listen to bad advice, but all too often we stopped and we considered it. We got caught up more and more in things that we shouldn't have had anything to do with. We began dabbling in it. Trying to make excuses for ourselves, we begin to stick our toes into the dirty, raw sewage of sin. And then we'd go from walking, listening to some bad advice, to stopping and considering it, dabbling in it, to suddenly sitting down in the very seat of scoffers. No longer just flirting with the temptation, no longer dabbling in it, but the devil causes us so often to fall headlong into his trap and to find ourselves planted right in the middle of unrighteousness. What an interesting descriptive picture we have here in Psalm 1 of this process of how the devil leads us away from God and into his camp instead. And then our psalm goes on. It says that the blessed righteous man delights in and meditates upon God's law day and night. I'm sorry, college students, but I'm sure you hardly have enough time to study, let alone write papers. I'm sure those college professors are still here who think that their class is the only class that you have, sucking up all of your time. Don't they realize that you have a social life? It takes time to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, let alone a part-time job or to be involved in athletics and sports and other extracurriculars. What about your foosball skills? It's amazing you have time. It's amazing that you have enough time to even come to chapel. And yet, what does our psalm say? It says that the blessed righteous man delights in God's law day and night. If we're honest with ourselves, I think we have to admit that this is a description that does not fit you college students very well, nor does it fit our faculty or staff, our professors, nor any visitors, myself included. I think we need to admit that if anything describes us here in Psalm number 1, it would be those last couple verses that talks about the wicked. The wicked that are like chaff that the wind drives away. The wicked that will not stand on the day of judgment. Sinners that will not be in the congregation of the righteous. The wicked who will perish. King David, who probably wrote this psalm, was one who would be sitting in our midst today as another person who failed at righteousness. Talk about falling into that trap described here of going from walking to standing to suddenly sitting down in the middle of unrighteousness. David knew how that went. David, of course, it went for him from a little gaze across a rooftop to fathering an illegitimate child, murdering an innocent man, lying to a nation while rejecting his God in the process. No way would David ever claim that he was this righteous man described here in our psalm. No, clearly, instead, as he realized and as he professed, and as you and I realize and as we profess, we have sinned against God. We know our transgressions, our sins are ever before us. Against you, O Lord, have we sinned and done what is evil in your sight. But then with this profession, or rather with this confession, everything changes. It's the tipping point. When we realize our own unrighteousness, that is when God offers us his righteousness. At the beginning of my meditation here with you this morning, I said that this psalm is an appropriate description, an accurate reflection of you college students and also of you faculty and staff and of everyone else. And I actually meant it because this is the description of how God views you who are wearing the righteousness of your Savior. Psalm 1 points us away from ourselves and to the Messiah. There was one who never once walked in the counsel of the wicked. There was one who never once stood in the path of sinners. There was one who never sat in the seat of scoffers. There was one who delighted in the law of the Lord and meditated upon it day and night. There was one like that perfect tree that we heard about, yielding its fruit, never withering, always prospering. That is a description of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the one who knew no sin and yet became sin for us so that we in him might become the righteousness of God. This psalm, Psalm 1, it points us to the sinless Son of God who came as our substitute, who lived for us in our place, achieving the righteousness that we should have achieved, he won it for us. Of the sinless Son of God who also then died for us, taking the punishment we deserved, he paid for it all with his death upon the cross. And now, our Lord Jesus has also risen victoriously from the dead, so that he can come and proclaim to you and to me that we should absolutely count ourselves among those who are blessed in our song. Yes, Jesus wants you to now see yourself as this person described in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed are you, college students. Blessed are you, faculty and staff. Blessed are you, visitors and everyone else. Blessed are you who are found by God through Jesus Christ to be accurately described here in Psalm 1. Those times when we fell into Satan's game and we fell to his process and found ourselves planted in unrighteousness, those times when we did not give God's law its due delight, those are times that have now been wiped clean from our record because of the righteous man who has saved us. Blessed are you who, because of Christ's work, are going the way of the righteous to everlasting life and not the way of the wicked who will perish. Blessed are you who are now, through Christ, like trees who are planted by living waters, producing fruit, never withering, because you are being fed and nourished. Fed and nourished when you come here to chapel or to your religion classes or when you come to church and you hear God's word proclaimed to you. Fed and nourished when you recall the fact that you are a baptized person, that God gave you an unconditional promise to love you and to forgive you, a baptismal promise that he renews to you every day when you turn to him with a repentant heart. You are being fed and nourished when you come on Sunday mornings to your local congregation and you share in the sacrament of the altar. They're receiving that miraculous meal of our Lord Jesus' own body and blood with the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This is a wonderful, beautiful, accurate picture that we find in Psalm 1, a depiction of you, college students, of you, faculty and staff, even of me. Blessed is this righteous man that is described here in this song. First of all, being our Savior, Jesus, who has shared his righteousness with you and me so that we see ourselves also reflected here in these words. All glory be to him. Amen. Please rise for prayer. We pray, Heavenly Father, we offer you our thanks and praise that out of your loving kindness you have shared with us poor sinners your holy righteousness through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and that because of him we are now counted among your blessed saints. We ask you to keep us in this faith always. Strengthen us daily by your means of grace through your word and sacraments so that we may put off temptations and sin and joyfully live our lives here in this world to the glory of your holy name. We pray this all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
His peace.